Und wenn jemand befördert, kommt der Zahn, wenn sie das fehlen. Warum doch? Ich nur. Frieden ist ein gutes Wort. Frieden ist ein gutes Wort. And everyone wants to enjoy his freedom. Every country wants to enjoy their freedom. But sometimes during the wrong occupation, when country occupies another country, the occupier wants to suppress the freedom of the occupied country. So they try to kill them with fairy tales and to take from them their freedom. So the poor people who didn't experience before the meaning and the value of freedom, they became trapped with this thing the occupier gave to them just to feed them and suppress them. And they think it is enough for them and they are satisfied with this thing. But if they experience the real freedom, they will know how much they are deceived. That's why I want every one of you to experience the true freedom. To experience the true freedom. What's freedom mean? What does freedom mean? Because sometimes you think you are free, but because you didn't experience the real meaning of freedom, you are deceived. Okay. Freedom has three dimensions. First dimension is your conscience. Your conscience has to be clear. You shouldn't experience any guilt or shame. Your conscience should be clear. That's the first dimension of freedom. Second dimension is your standards are set in Christ. Your standards are set in stone, in rock. You are able to do what you want to do, not to be, you know, controlled by something else. But controlled by something else, and you are not able to do what you want to do, then you are not free. You are not free to live up to your standards. And to live to these standards, even if these standards are opposite or in conflict with the standards of the whole world, that's freedom. Like Saint Athanasius, they told him, the world is against you. As he said to them, as I am against the world. That's why we call him Contramundo. Contramundo means against the world. And the third dimension of freedom, your actions. Your actions shouldn't betray your words. Your action should match your words. If there is a discrepancy between your actions and your words, that means you are not free. Your words give a message, but your action, you are not free to do what you say. Okay? So the three dimensions of freedom, your conscience is clear, your standard set in stone, and your actions don't say your words. But the big question is how can I be free? How can I experience this true freedom? It's very read John chapter 8, verse 32, to see how can a person enjoy his freedom. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, from this verse, how a person can be free? There is two steps in this verse. What's the first step? Jesus Christ said, I am the way, truth, and resurrection. I am life. Way, truth, and life. Where we can find the truth? Don't know the truth about anything. Where we can find it? In the Bible. In the Word of God. Because, as you know, if you say, who is the truth? The truth is Jesus Christ. So, if you want to know the truth, where you will find this truth, you will find it in the Word of God, in the Bible. Okay? Today, I wanted to speak with you about the truth about sin. Okay? And when we know the truth, the step number one, if we start doing it, then we will be free. Okay. So, to know the truth about sin, we have to search the scripture to see what God said about sin. That's first step number one. And when we know the truth, then we should start doing it. And in this way, we will be set free. Right? The first point about sex, we find it in Genesis 2, verse 24. Genesis 2, verse 24. In Galatians 2.
Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one.
Okay. A man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. What truth in this verse you can find? What you can find? Be one flesh. What happened? What? Of course, yeah, through Jesus Christ, but being one flesh physically, heaven and heaven. Link it up, right? Yeah. One flesh. It's kind of like a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. And it shall be one flesh. So what is the message here? What is the truth here? What's God's intention about sex? Sex should be practiced in the boundaries of marriage. It's very clear in this verse. A man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. A man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. He didn't say, for example, a man shall leave his home and become united with whoever looks good or with his girlfriend, for example. He did this. Right? So, the first fact, sex should be in the boundaries of marriage. No sex outside marriage. No sex outside the boundaries of the sacrament of the Holy Spirit. This is the first fact about sex. You have to keep it in your mind. Okay. Second fact. Matthew 15:19.
Evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies.
Okay. What is the truth in this verse? Murder comes from where? From the heart. Out of the heart, right? Out of the heart. That means the potential for sexual immorality is within all of us, right? No one can say, I am above this. No one can say, I am above this. Because the potential for sexual immorality is within all of us. All of us have this potential. All of us can be weak and commit all these things. I'm not purer than David. I'm not wiser than Solomon. I'm not powerful as Samson. And these three men, they commit adultery. Because their potential for sexual morality is within all of us. So, if we know this fact, and if we know the other fact that sex is prohibited outside the boundaries of marriage, how can we do reconciliation between these two truths, these two facts? How can we do reconciliation? It's very easy. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he came to the world, he didn't come just to pay our debts. to pay the penalty. No. He came to pay our penalty, plus to dwell by me, to dwell in my heart, to be a source of power, to be a refuge, to go to him, to seek power, to seek help, to control this potential for sexual immorality. So yes, the potential is in your heart, and also is in my heart, and in the heart of everyone. But if you have Christ in your heart, he is a source of power to you, to help you against this potential for sexual immorality. Jesus came to die for our sinful nature. That is constantly trying to convince us to betray what we really want. Meaning what? Let us read Romans 7, starting from verse 14. Yeah. Our sinful nature, trying constantly to convince us to betray what we really want to do. Our sinful nature, as I told you, we have the potential of sexual immorality within us. So our sinful nature try usually, all the time, to convince us to betray what we really want to do. And St. Paul explained in this passage of scripture how there is a constant struggle, a constant fight between what I want to do and what I'm doing, between your will and your action. So how I can do reconciliation for this struggle between your will and your action? The answer we'll find it in Romans chapter 7, starting from verse 14 till the second verse from chapter 8.
For we know that the law is spiritual, I am carnal, soul under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. What I will do, that I will do not practice. But what I hate, that I will do. If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law, that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing for to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will do, I do not do. But the evil I will not do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not do, what I will not do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me. The one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the faith of man. I see another law in my members, warning against the law of my mind and bringing me to captivity to the law of the same nature of my mind. A wretched man, what I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God for Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh of the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are Jesus Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Thank you. Very confusing. Did you understand?
Very confusing. I tried to read it verse by verse with you and translate in reverse. But before I read, keep in mind this. St. Paul is explaining what's happening here. the potential of sin in general is within me. That is the corrupted nature that we inherited after from our father, after the sin of Adam and Eve. God, in the beginning, created man in corruption. But after the man committed the sin, the corruption entered in the world. And our nature became sinful, became corrupt. Okay? So, but God gave us a commandment. That is the law of God. And mentally, I want to follow His law. I want to follow His command. So now there is a war between what you want to do. You want to live clean, pure, away from sexual immorality. You want to do all this stuff. Okay? But because the law of your sinful nature and the law of my sinful nature fighting against the law of God who is in my mind. Okay? So, usually, I find myself doing not what I want to do, but what the law of my sinful nature wants to do. Clear right now? You understand all that? So, do you understand? Understand? So, what's the solution? How can we solve this problem? Jesus came to us. And Jesus dwelt in my heart. And we received His Holy Spirit inside us in the sacrament of baptism and sacrament of confirmation. So, now we have the Holy Spirit inside us. So, before there is two powers struggling against each other. The law of my mind, of my will, and the law of my sinful nature. Now, I have the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. The Holy Spirit is empowering my law of mind. And in this way, I can control the law of my sinful nature. And in this way, I can be free. That's exactly what St. Paul said here. Let's read together. For we know that the law is spiritual. Which law here? The law of God, the commandment, the Ten Commandments, for example. But I am carnal, sold under sin. Here he speaks about the law of sinful nature. I am carnal, sold under sin. Okay? For what I am doing, I don't understand. What I'm doing according to my sinful nature, I don't understand. For what I will to do, that's according to the law of God, that I don't practice. I'm not doing it. But what I hate, that I do. Why? Because I'm doing it under the control of sinful nature. فاهمين لغاية دلوقتي؟ مش فاهمين حاجة أقول. وبعدين if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that's good. You will hear here there is no discrepant here. I do what I will not to do. I'm doing something against what I want to do, again, it's my will. But meanwhile, I agree with the law that it is good. See here the discrepancy? I agree that the law of God is good. But at the same time, I'm doing what I will to do or what I will not do. What I will not do. Clear right now? But now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Here he explaining why this conflict? Because not me, not my will is doing the sin, but the sin that dwells in me, the sinful nature. You know? So here, he wants to distinguish between I, as Son of God, and my sinful nature that dwells in me. So, if something else, other than the sin that dwells in me, starts to dwell in me, that matches me, then this conflict will be resolved. Clear? So I have to replace the sin that dwells in me with something else matches the law of God that I want to do. Clear right now? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh. Here, the same verse we read it in Matthew 15. The potential of sin in general is in me, in my flesh. Behold, but now I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. There is a good will. I want to do good things. But how to perform what is good, I don't find. For the good that I will to do, I don't do. The will according to the law of God, I don't do. But the evil I will not do, that I practice. That's according to the law of sinful nature. Now, if I do what I will not do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. He emphasized on the point that what I do, what I practice, I'm not doing it by my own free will, but by my sinful nature. So your will here is free or is not? It's not free. Your will is present. You want to do something, but you cannot. You do exactly the opposite of what you want to do. So you are not free. If you want to do this, but you cannot do it, you are not free. Okay? We are under bondage. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the law of the sinful nature, the one who wills to do good. For I dwell in the law of God according to the inward man. My life is I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. My joy, my happiness, my gladness is in the law of God. Okay, verse 21. خلينا أراه بطريقة تانية عشان تفهموه. For I find then a law, the one who wills to do good, that evil is present with me. عارفين ليه أنا عملت تشينج ده؟ To understand. I find a law in my is the onward man, that when I want to do well, the same time I find the evil is present with me. You understand it now? Because in the beginning it was very confusing. Like in Kida, I find then the one who wills to do good, that I find plus or the same time with the one who wills to do good, I find with him, with this law, evil is present with me. Clear now? For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. I delight in the law of God. But I see another law in my members. This is the law of sinful nature. Warring, fighting against the law of my mind. The first law is the law of my will, my mind, according to God. And the law of my sinful nature is warring against the law of my mind, not only warring, but what? Bringing me into captivity. I'm not free here. That's why I start with the word freedom. I'm not free here. To the law of sin, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my member. Okay. Can you imagine your condition when you have this struggle? We always have this struggle. I want to live pure. I want to live up to the commands of God. I want to do this, but I cannot. I cannot. It's too hard for me. Because I have struggle inside me. She said, like, oh rich man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death. Who will deliver me from this body of death, because I am not free. I live like I am in prison. I don't want this life with this struggle. But here's the solution. I thank God. I thank God. Why? Because the law of sinful nature now is replaced by another law, the law of the Holy Spirit, because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside us. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. But there is therefore now no condemnation, no guilt, no condemnation. To those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. A Spirit here, capital or small? Capital. Here we talk about what? Holy Spirit. So, now you have, plus the law of your sinful nature, another law. The law of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God. When did you receive this Holy Spirit? In confirmation after baptism, you receive the Holy Spirit. So, if you walk according to the law of the Spirit, there is no condemnation on you. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me what? Free. Free. Before I wasn't free, but now I am free. Because God is the only one who can set you free. Because the law of sinful nature is, you know, fighting with the power of, power of me. No, the law of the sinful nature is fighting with the power of, which again is, is empowered by the power of the law of sinful nature. Is empowered by the law of, by the power of sin, by the power of David. And the law of spirit is empowered by God. And whose power? Who's more powerful? God. So the law of the spirit can set me free. That's what exactly St. Paul says. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Okay? نرجع تاني بالنقطة the second truth or the second fact about sex that the potential of sexual immorality is within me, inside me. But if I let the Holy Spirit empower me, then the law of spirit can make me what? Free. That's the one. Can make me free. According to something. Can make me free. Amen. Exactly. Hopefully you can understand this way. But now? Yeah. with me, me is the one who wants to go. So it's the same meaning. There is a war between the law of sinful nature and the law of my mind. Me, the one who wants to go. Okay. So how many facts we said about sex right now? How many facts? Two. First fact. Imbalance of marriage, second fact. Yeah. Yeah, no one is above sexual immorality because the potential is inside me, is within me. Right? But Jesus can set me free. The Spirit of God can set me free. Third fact. Actually, it's very similar to the first fact, but it's it's said in another way. Exodus 20, verse 14. Mineral door. Exodus 20, verse 14. You should not commit adultery. Means what? Means having sex with anyone other than your spouse is not God's plan. It's not something accepted to God. What? What? Having sex with someone is an action of intimacy, intimate act, right? Do you agree about this? It's an action of intimacy. Becoming one flesh with them. Right? So, sex, if we think about it as an action of intimacy, we reach a conclusion that it is a special gift. Special gift. To be given only to the person I commit to live with him or with her all my life. That's why you shall not commit adultery. Because it is not for just play or pleasure. No. It is an action, an act of intimacy. So it is a special gift to be given only to someone you will be committed. You will be committed to for your entire life. Okay? And because it is an act of intimacy, you know what are the emotional consequences if a spouse cheats? You find, you know, the emotional consequences for the other spouse is devastating, is, you know, destroying. It is an act. So the third fact we should know that sex is an act of intimacy. So it is a gift, a special gift, to be given only to a person you are committed to live with him or with her the whole entire life. That's why you shall not commit adultery. The fourth fact about sex we find it in Hebrew 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. So, the fourth fact about sex, that God will judge all the adulterers and the fornicators. And here St. Paul is not speaking about, the last day judgment. But here he's speaking about, the natural consequences of immorality, sexual immorality. There is three kinds of consequences of sexual immorality. Now we are speaking about the natural consequences of sexual immorality. God will judge them through these natural consequences. Can you give me an example about natural consequences of sexual immorality? Huh? Yes. Yeah, this is all sexually transmitted diseases, like gonorrhea, syphilis, AIDS, all these are natural consequences. Natural consequences. So God will judge the fornicators and all the sexual immoral through the natural consequences. And at look of each kind of consequences, three. First is natural consequences. The spiritual consequences. We will read about it in Galatians chapter 5. Verse 19 and 21. And that is fact number 5. Issue 5, verse 19 and 21. My thought is to perform back my hand and narrow to the
hand.
Okay, so what's the spiritual consequences here? Huh? مسكت طول معايا صحينا من اليمين تعبتوا؟ ريتايرد؟ فاهم خلاص كده؟ طيب قولوا معايا what's the spiritual consequences here؟ ها؟ will not inherit the kingdom of God. I want you in your own Bible to highlight this. Underline and highlight. Okay? Highlight which verse? Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who practice such things will not, very clear here, will not inherit the kingdom of God. أنا قلت لكم في natural consequences وفي spiritual consequences. The third kind of consequences, what we call emotional or psychological consequences. Okay? We read about this in Proverbs 6, verse 32. Or who conduct a sexually immoral life. First dimension, he likes what? Second dimension, he, and in another version, he destroys his own life. He destroys his own life. Okay? Let me tell you this. Sexuality destroys your career, your reputation, your marriage in the future, your children in the future. Destroy your reputation. Do you agree about this? Destroy your career. Sometimes when anyone starts to be involved in such relationship, first thing happens to his brains, going, right, destroying his career, destroying his marriage, in several dimensions, destroying his marriage in future, because his heart is not pure. He didn't give the first root of his sexual life to his wife. Okay. And those who practice sex before marriage, they have, you know, this guilt after each time they commit sin. So after marriage, when they start to do this with their life, because this feeling of guilt and shame accompanied, you know, the practice of sex, this feeling will go with them after marriage. Okay. And it can affect their children. So, as the Bible says, destroys your reputation, destroys your career, destroys your happy marriage, destroy your children. But thanks be to God that through repentance, as John Sather said, the blessed is the repentance that transforms the adulterers to virgins. Through repentance, you can be transformed, can be changed. Like, you know, one who didn't lose his virginity through repentance. He's a foolish person. Still. أكتر نكمل. Are you sure? أنا نقصد يمكن at least 20 minutes. Facts number whatever.
It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13 and 18. What is the benefit of that? First Corinthians 6, 13 and 18. 13 and 18. So, what is the truth here? It's self-destruction. No. Why God created our body? For his own glory, he said. Okay. Now the body is not for sexual immorality. You have to keep this fact in your mind. Your body is not for sexual immorality. Your body is not for playing and, you know, experience pleasure. It's for sexual immorality. No. Your body is for what? But for the Lord, for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. That's why flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, you are not your own. For you were bought for a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You have to keep in your mind that your body is for the Lord, not for sexual immorality. It's the purpose, the goal of your body, to glorify God in your body. You are the temple of the Lord and the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Glorify God in your butts. Glorify God in your butts. Again, I want you to highlight this verse in your own Bible. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And another verse I want you to highlight it, Lydia. And you are not your own. You are not your own. God paid the price not to destroy your body. God paid the price to glorify him in your body. Keep this fact in your mind. Body is not for sexual morality, but body is for the glory of next fact. Ephesians 5:13.
Selfishness. It is not even renamed among you as it is the link for sins.
Okay. So what is the implied truth here? What is the message here? Treating you as what? Sins. Means, do we have a duty toward God? Do you have a duty toward him? Yes or no? Yes. What is duty? Going up to the sea with him. What's his duty? Worship with him. attack within. And you shall be mine. And you shall be mine. ربنا قبل ما يصعد الكلمه اللي قالها لابليس and you shall be my witnesses and you shall be my witnesses our duty to the Lord to live as a saint to witness to the Lord. Okay. Sexual, does sexual immorality affect your witness to the Lord or not? Does it affect it? Can you witness to the Lord while you are conducting sexual immoral life? Okay, read this verse again.
Fornication of uncleanness, of covetousness, is not even remain among you, as is said in verse 8.
So, why let it not be even named among you? Because I have a duty to be what? Witness. And sexual immorality affect my witness to the Lord. Keep it in your mind. Sexual immorality affect your witness to Christ. And that's your duty. You have to let it out. Okay. Let us read Colossians 3:5.
Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is
idolatry. What is the fact here? Put to death. What does it mean, put to death? You know? No? Put to death. Why die? It's a real death. Real death is not killing yourself. But it's a real participation in the death of Christ. That is the only way to put to death your members. To participate in the death of the Lord. To carry the cross, to carry the sufferings in your life, okay? And to rely on Him, because it's not easy. To die means to go through all the sufferings, all the passions, okay? it wasn't easy for Christ to die on the cross. He was suffering. So again, you have to suffer and to bear all these sufferings. It's not easy, but through Christ, it can be easy if you die with him. And ask him for the power. Ask him for the protection. Ask him to be crucified with him. Be crucified means, having your thoughts nailed in Christ. Nailed in him. Having your body nailed in him. Nailed means what? You cannot do this or that. You cannot go here or there, except if Christ is there. Because you are nailed with him, crucified with him. Christ is always, always, always constantly in your mind. This crucifixion. Ephesians
4:19. Who being obedient has given them, have given themselves over to holiness, to mark all uncleanness.
If a person just continues to practice sexual immorality in his life, what will happen in the future according to this verse? If he did put to death his members on earth, if he didn't crucify himself with Christ, if he didn't strive to keep the law of God, what eventually will happen to him? Hadid al-Shahi al-Adi. If you explain to me, you will know what eventually will happen to him. Huh? Did I? Not only me. No. Iriha al-Ushraf al-Kirma kid. Who being past feet? Any past feet? No. No conscience. No sensitivity. They don't have any sensitivity to self. Okay? This eventually what happened. This eventually what happened. If you practice all this sexual immorality, eventually you will lose the sensitivity to sin. You will lose it. And we'll say, what's wrong with that? And you will get mad and upset with anyone try to redirect your life. You know what? Because you best feel. That's the first step. But eventually, if you do it more and more and more and more, you will lose the sensitivity. Now, first time a person commits any sexual immoral act, you're armed with feeling of guilt and shame. But when he's doing it more and more and more and more, he loses sensitivity to sin. What's wrong with that? I start arguing about it. It's okay. No, this does affect me. No, does affect my life. Does affect my career. No, that's fine. Why God created this to me? No, I'm trying to be justified for himself. He gets really mad and upset with anyone who wants to redirect his life. That's what St. Paul exactly meant by past feeling. فَالْعَرْبُ وَلَكْ إِيهِ الَّذِينَ إِذْهُمْ فَقَدُوا الْحِسِ بيبقوا متبلدين في الاحساس بتاعهم، فقط الحس. اللي في الايه الثانيه قال لك يشربون الاثم كالماء، يعني they are committing sins like they are water. واخد بالك؟ So eventually you will lose your sensitivity not to the sin but you lose again its sensitivity to what? To its destructive power. Yeah, the sin will be destroying you and you think it's fine, it's alright. So you will lose even the sensitivity to its destructive power. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine that sin is destroying you and you say it's fine? If when you wake up, you have a cancer. Well, that's fine. Now there is spread all over your body. That's fine. And fine. Because he lost existence. How a person reach this stage? I'm not saying how just to do it, but avoidment. Okay? How a person reach this stage? By allowing your mind to dwell on sex. Your mind always preoccupied with this. Allowing your eye to view sexual acts. Allowing your body to practice sexual. Your mind dwell on sex. Your eye views sexual morality. Your body practice sexual immorality. Let's read 1 John 2:16.
For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, not of the Father, but is the peace of the world.
Okay. Who put sex in our life? In our sex, in our lives? Who put sex? Huh? Who created sex? Huh? God. So, who put sex in our life? But why St. Paul said in the world lust of flesh? So I want you to compare what God gives us and what the world gives us. Because sometimes these two things are confused together. We cannot distinguish between what God gives us and what the world gives us. Can you distinguish between what God gives us and what the world gives us? God gives us sex as an act of intense. So God gives us sexual intimacy. But the world gives us what? Sexual lust. It's a big difference. Big difference. Between sexual intimacy and sexual lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh means uncontrollable desire for sexual acts. That's the lust of the flesh. هما دولت اللي هما ايه؟ They lose sensitivity. There is a difference between you keep sex for intimacy and just you keep sex for pleasure and fulfill and satisfy the lust of the flesh. First one will help you to grow in love. But the other one will help you to grow in addiction. And I want to tell you, there is six addiction. Okay? Six addiction. Addiction to sex itself. Addiction to pornography. Addiction to movies. Addiction to masturbation. That's addiction. That's lust of flesh. Lust of flesh. ال sexual intimacy تعمل لك ايه؟ growing up. Sexual lust or lust of flesh بيخلي عندك feeling of guilt and anguish. And finally, eventually, you will reach a point you hate yourself. You hate yourself for conducting this kind of life. آخر نقطة عايز أكلمكم فيها regarding this point اللي هي lust of flesh about sex addiction. Many of our youth are addicted either to pornography or to masturbation. And pornography, now it's easy. You know what? You know why it's easy now? For those who have computers, it's easy. And any tool you can use it for the glory of God, or you can use it to destroy yourself. And I want to warn you, it is really addicting if you start playing the computer. It's really addicting. And it is destroying. It's destroying. And you have to do this. Because the how to conquer sex addiction is still by confession. And the scene I want to say about masturbation, to conquer this effort is to confess. Sometimes you are embarrassed to confess to this confession, but it is more helpful. Because the revealing or, you know, disclosing your faults and your bad habits is the first step in healing. So I encourage anyone who is addicted to any kind of sin to go to his father of confession and start confessing and asking God for help and protection. Okay. Second step, I'm going to read for you some verses to help you. And I again want you to write these verses down, highlighted in the Bible, to help you to conquer any act of addiction. Okay, from four verses, my speech is four verses. Our verse, 1 Corinthians 6:20. Cannot help but begin.
Christ before glorify God in your body,
in
your spirit,
and your spirit. Glorify God in your bodies. 1 Thessalonians 4:7.
God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life.
Again.
For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life.
Again. For God. Okay, third verse. Galatians 5:16-17.
Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you should that you wish.
And ask the first because in our enemy here, walk in Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Don't know about that. Again. Again. 1 Peter 4:3, the other verse. You read? You can read the ayat here, and you can read the podcast. I'm going to read the ayat here, and I'm going to read the ayat here. صور بتاع كورة، صور مش عارف ممثلين، وأدور بس على صغير ولا صورة، لك صورة قد كده للعذراء محطوط كده على ده لو لقيت، قعدت أدور عليها لغاية لما ألاقيها، بعد ساعة بس ألاقي كده صورة قد كده، للعذراء محطوطة هنا، يا ريت صورة للعذراء، يا ريت تشيل الصور دي، هيافك تحطها هدية، تحط حاجات في فيتر فور ثري، مين هيافك؟
For we have spent enough of our past lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking, parties, and abominable idolatry. In regard to these, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same blood.
And I want you to read 2 and 3. Okay.
That he no longer shall live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God.
يا سيدي لما عايز تحفظها. اقتلها مع بعض ثلاث مرات. Again. Again. مين يقدر يقول أربع آيات؟ حتى بلاش أعلم إزاكي كده لكن قبل إلا غير لك دي أول لحظة يقول الرفاية ده من يربط الرفاية الثانية استمع تخرج من كده مش تخرج من غير رفع حضر أنا ما أعطيك فوق الرفاية الثانية كتبت عليها say, okay, if Adam didn't sin, he would fit her as his wife. Other people would say, no, it's an area of discussion. This is your question, right? It's not part of sin, but it happens. Not part of the sin. but it happened after that. Actually, this verse, you know, Genesis chapter 1, you know, forbidding the summary of Hasid. What is the explanation is given? You know? No, no. Yeah. لو بصيت على الميس ده تلاقيها مكتوبه 8 و7 ونص. موجوده في موجوده في الميس ده. لو موجوده في الميس ده 7 ونص. موجوده في الميس ده 8 يبقى 8. لكن حتى لو ما مش عارفين حاجتك كده. وانتوا بقى جايين بقى للفن للسوشيال اكتيفيتي اللي بعد الاجتماع رايت؟ ها؟ طيب خلاص فاضلك ساعه كام؟ الساعة 9؟ أقول لك خلاص الساعة 9؟ وأنت؟ زي جود إكسكيوز. أيش المفروض إن هم ما يجوش يحضروا الاجتماع يشوفوا بارتيسيبيت في السوشيال ميديا السوشيال كامباني. I think it's fair, right? Thank you. انت رايح فين؟ ما شوف دي على اللي احنا نكون في السبريتش اللي جواه ايه ده؟ انت تقول انت منين؟ انت من الصعيد ولا السودان؟ ها؟ من اسيوط ده انا فاهم. انت لسه جديد هنا؟ لسه كده روي؟ روي احنا من زمان حتى انا عندي اسئله So, any sex outside this boundary is if it's before marriage or you know, outside the boundaries of marriage is a it's the same or it's a good thing to do. The same. Whatever that, you name it fornication, you name it adultery, you name it sexual immorality, you name it whatever you name it, same. Well, don't be deceived. This is nice names like pre-American sex. That is to, you know, to make the sin is more, you know, acceptable. It's not sin, it's premarital sex. No, it is not. But there is nothing called premarital sex. Because sex related to marriage. So sex related to marriage and should be practiced, you know, in the context of marriage. So is this terminology right? Premarital sex? Huh? Is the right terminology? That's right. It's right or wrong? Wrong terminology. Because there is no such a thing called premarriage. If sex intended to be in marriage, so there is no such thing, it's called premarriage. So I don't agree about this name, and I don't use it. Premarital sex is confusing. It will give you the impression, yes, you can have sex before marriage. No, you cannot. It's as simple as that. You can. And marriage, which is better. So if we compare between souls and marriage, souls is better. But not everyone can live this life. So God gives them permission to marry. But it's not the first reason for marriage. Because you cannot control yourself. But it's one of the reasons. First reason of marriage is to glorify God and procreate, you know, with God. Having children. And it's for, you know, having this Christian love together. But again, one of the reasons of marriage is if you cannot control your body. That's why St. Paul said, I think, in the Gospel of St. Paul, in verse 9, but if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to bear with passion. Okay? And that's why sometimes the church allows. Of course, the second marriage and third marriage is not preferred by the church. But the church sometimes allows second marriage and third marriage. Okay? But it doesn't allow at all fourth marriage. But for the third, even for second and third, it's allowed this as a way of not to be burned by passion. If you lack self-control, so it's better to marry than to be burdened with your compassions. That's why one of the saints said, first, marriage is honorable. Second is allowed. Third is not preferred, but fourth is preferred. And, you know, in the second, if we do a remarriage for someone, we don't pray the prayers of the second for the matrimony, but it's another prayer, just a permission for marriage. So it isn't up to the level of the Holy Sacrament of the first marriage. So why I'm explaining all this? To tell you that yes, one of the reasons, if you lack self-control, the church allows you to marry, but I shan't not be burdened with your obligations. Hashem of Kish is the only and the sole reason. It's one of the reasons. You marry because you are seeking this unity in Christ. But some people marry because they cannot. You know? So I didn't say it is the only and sole reason for marriage. But it's the reason of the reasons. يعني لما يجي واحده اسمها ايه؟ جيت ديفورس وما لهوش تصريح اكيد يجي يتخانق معاه. طب انت عايز تتجوز ليه؟ يقول لك عشان مش قادر. يبقى مش قادر هنا I cannot means he likes you to do. That's why he wants to get married. So it's reasons. We cannot deny this. But this doesn't mean or doesn't imply that every marriage is for this purpose. No. And this is not the first reason for marriage. This is number 10, 11, 12. Reasons. There are some simple reasons.